Well, you've heard the old saying that the only things that are certain in this life are death and taxes. Well, we are pretty well acquainted with taxes. If you're not ready, you better get ready, because they're due on Tuesday the 17th. So taxes, yeah, that's one of the things that are certain in this life, and death for sure too. We read in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." So death is a certainty as well. But it's pretty discouraging to think that we have to live this life with nothing to hold on to but death and taxes. That's not true. I know that life's tough. Right now, the trade situation that's going on with China and in our financial world, the stock market is up and down like a seesaw. Right now, our political situation's really strained. We don't know whether or not we're going to go to war with the ground troops in Syria, or exactly what's going to go on there. On the home front, our homes are being destroyed all the time. A lot of our children are growing up with a mother that's an alcoholic and a daddy that's, well, he's been gone for a long time. And our crime is out of control. You have to be concerned now whether or not, when you pack your child's lunch and send him to school, is he safe? Or every time you go into a McDonald's, you have to wonder, is somebody going to come in here shooting? And the opiate crashes. Let's don't even go there. That's totally out of control. So yeah, you could sit down and start dwelling on what is so uncertain about this life that it just will destroy you. That's the reason why. That's the reason why that God gives us certainties. He knows that our heart cannot dwell in uncertainty. He's the one that made us. And so thankfully, God has given us certainties. He knows that our heart searches to find, seeks to know, longs for understanding. He's the one that made it. And so this morning, we are going to talk about some of the certainties of life. We're going to try to realize this morning how important it is to be a Christian, because we don't have to dwell in this world of doubt and uncertainty. So what are some of the certainties of the Bible? Well, one of the very first and very good one is that we can know that our Redeemer lives. This was a statement made by Job way back there, whenever Job was simply grasping for some kind of certainty because his life was in an upheaval. His faith was being challenged, and he wanted something that his drowning soul could grab a hold of. And that great hope was, I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. But we live in a time when we can really, truly know, we know that our Savior is alive. that he has been resurrected from the dead. Jesus himself tells us that he said in Revelation 1 and verse 17 and 18, he said, I am he who lives, was dead. Now watch this. Watch this. And behold, I live forevermore. Amen. Evermore. This is what our whole Christian system is based on. Paul calls it the good news in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. No wonder that's good news. And brother, this world needs some good news. And there it is, there's a power that this world doesn't have. This world is flouncing in uncertainty, and we have stability of truth because we can know that my Redeemer lives. In Hebrews 7 and verse 25, we read there that he ever lives to make intercession for us. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 4, when Jesus, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in his glory. And how about this one? Romans 6, verses 8 and 9 says that now we who are dead in Christ believe that we shall also live with him. Isn't that awesome? That is a great certainty. And it's something that God has given to the Christian. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. Life's worth just worth the living because he lives. I am thankful to God for this great certainty. But hey, here's another one. We can know that we have passed from death to life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from life to death, from death to life. Salvation is a transformation. Listen to what Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, as he describes this transformation. He says, do you not know that whom you present yourselves servants to obey? You are that one's servants whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed, watch it now, you obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That form of doctrine, what is that? Well, Paul explains that if you just back up just a few scriptures in this same chapter. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. But in verse 3 he says, or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be raised to walk in newness of life. Now listen to this. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, here's a certainty, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be servants of sin. It's a great, powerful truth to know that we have passed from death to life. That this old world is not all there is to it. A 6-foot hole somewhere is not the end of my existence. I think about little Miss Richie. 107.5 years old. And you know what? The only thing she wanted out of life at the end was just to go home. Go home to see Jesus. Spent 107 years here. But her longing was to go home. And because she had lived for the Master here, she believed that His promises were true. And that she would get to go home. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul has said there, "And you He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 tells us that we have salvation through His grace, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "There if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I have a hope that weighs in your promise that someday I can go home. But here's a good one. Now, buddy, this is one of my favorite ones, and this is one that you can certainly put in your sack, take home with you. And that is, "I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." Now, Jesus did not say that all things would be good. He did not say that. Because there are some really bad things that happen in this life. And there are some really bad things that happen to some really good people in this life. So He did not say that all things are good. He said that all things would work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. What God is saying here is that in His wisdom and in His power, that for His children, no matter what this world does to us, and partner, it can do some pretty rough things to us. No matter what happens, for His children, God says, "I'm going to make something good come out of that." Amen. Now, partner, I know. I've been there, done that. So I know that when you're going through those things, it's tough to see that. That's the reason why that we have to build our faith daily. Because when that faith is in the fire, when Satan takes you and throws you and your heart and your life and it all upside down, and you don't know where you're going to go, you don't know what you're going to do, and life just seems like it has stepped on you and smashed you and just... It's hard. It's hard. That's what faith is, though. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things we cannot see. Lord, I don't see a way out of this. And then a door opens. Right there. I don't know how he does it. But he does. And with that kind of certainty, partner, you can go to war in this life. You can stand toe-to-toe with the devil, and you've got a power that he nor anything else in this world can defeat. Isn't that a powerful certainty? God doesn't just leave you out there in this world with the only things that's certain is death and taxes. Because for the Christian, there are powers and strengths that this world does not even have any concept of. Galatians 6 verse 17 says, from now on let no one trouble me. Paul said, for I bear in my body the marks of the Master. The guy that wrote this had been in the fire. In 2 Corinthians 11 verses 23 beginning, he lists all of these things: shipwreck, stone, left for dead, thrown out of the city. He'd been there and done that. He was the one that made this statement. And he knew what he was talking about. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, he said, you and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But Jesus said, you'll be more than conquerors. Because I'll strengthen you. Philippians 1 verse 12, Paul wrote, but I want you to know, brethren, that all things that happened to me have actually happened for the furtherance of the gospel. You're talking about an optimist. You have one in Paul. He was one of those Christian energizing bunnies. He just took a licking, kept on ticking. How you do it? How do you do it, Paul? Because I know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's power. That's power. But look at this one. We just have a couple of more. I wish we had time to look at every I know scripture in the Bible. But of course we don't. But I like this one. We can know that when this body decays, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, that we have an eternal dwelling place with God. The Christian absolutely knows that. Death for the Christian is not termination. It's just a junction. It's a door that opens to a whole new world, a whole new existence, a whole new eternity. I want to read something that John writes for us about living with the Master, living for the Master. In 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. I see where that not knowing can just tear your heart out. Because, you know, you guys sitting on the front row, y'all are counting in years. Some of you guys, the other guys, Matt, some of you guys, you know, y'all are counting in months. And then there's some of the rest of us that count in days. I know the days are going fast. Man, I've had a good time in this old life. Hadn't all been easy, but I've had some good times. And, you know, I want to go to heaven. Like the little boy said, I just don't want to catch the bus tonight, you know. But to know it's waiting, it's a great I know. But then finally this morning, I like this one too. We can know that we're going to see Jesus face to face. In Acts chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, whenever he ascended back up into the heavens, the angel told the apostles, he said, why are you marveling at this? The same one Jesus that you saw go is coming back again. And Jesus said to his apostles, you know, why are you so troubled? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm going away. But I'm going to prepare you a place that where I am, you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how could we know the way? And Jesus said, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. Well, there are you some I knows. I want you to know that you can know. And you don't have to live in uncertainty if you live in Jesus. You don't have to know what tomorrow holds if you know Him that holds tomorrow. And you don't have to wander through this world in darkness and uncertainty if you let Jesus hold your hand. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am absolutely persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My good friend, there is no uncertainty in this life except death and taxes. But you do not have to dwell in just this life. There's more to living than living. And there's more to dying than dying. If you are a child of God. If you have not exercised your faith, and I know you believe in the Master, but do you believe in Him enough to make a change in your life? Do you believe in Him enough to repent of your sins, to confess that He is the Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, raised to walk a new creature with a new strength, with a new direction, with a new hope? That, my partner, you can take to the bank. Will you come while together we stand and sing?